This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with veteran pollster Bernie Pinsonat from Southern Media and Opinion Research. He'll discuss the U.S. Senate race of 2014 as the incumbent Democrat Mary Landrieu seeks re-election against the challenge of Republican Congressman Bill Cassidy. Bernie Pinsonat says Mary Landrieu will have a difficult time winning in 2014. Others made similar comments when Mary Landrieu ran in 1996 against Woody Jenkins, in 2002 against Susie Terrell, and in 2008 against John Kennedy. Why is 2014 different? We'll discuss it with Bernie Pinsonat. We'll also discuss Governor Jindal's continuing decline in popularity. He's at 42%. That's up 4 points, but still significantly lower than he was a few years ago. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757 outside the area. Inkster Show at WRKF.org online. Kevin Gallagher producing, and in studio is Bernie Pinsonat, the well-known pollster who's been surveying Louisiana politicians for a generation or two, and he's back with some new numbers, including Bobby Jindal at 42%, up from 38% in the last Pinsonat and Buster McKenzie survey. 42% compared to 66% approval rating for Governor Mike Beebe of Arkansas, a Democrat one state away. Why is Bobby Jindal at 42%? Bernie Pinsonat.
Well, where do I begin? Well, as a looking at Jindal's numbers fell dramatically last year about this time. Those were the, maybe that was the bottom. But it was purely and simply there was a lot of discussion. There were a lot of red inks that he had to deal with related to the healthcare system. He had cut higher education. He came off of what he had to cut $700 million out of Medicaid because we overcharged the feds. A lot of discussion about the charity hospital, what will we do with it, layoffs. And those were really bleak times for Jindal. And that as far as, polling Jindal, that was his low point ever.
But between 38 and 42%, that's almost within the margin of error,
yeah,
isn't it? So it's not like he's flying high now.
No. We said he improved slightly. He's still at 42%. And, being a Republican with national ambitions, he's eliminated 29% of the state vote, plus Democrats. So for him to get over 55, 56, with his style of politics, with his approach, is going to be difficult. You had Foster and even Blanco when she was doing well, and other governors who routinely were in the 60s. But, none of them ever went out of their way to get into national politics. And plus, Jindal's attention-getting quotes are all anti-Barack Obama, which means he's lost all of the African-American vote in Louisiana.
But he never really had that to begin with.
Well, he didn't have them, but doesn't mean they're going to vote for him, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be 75-80% giving you a very negative job performance. Foster always got 55 or 60%. He was a Republican, but he got decent job performance.
As far as job performance, even though
they may not have voted for him.
Yeah. Well, the governor does have support in some quarters. I'm looking at the LSU football program from Friday's game against Arkansas, Senior Day, back page. This beautiful program. LSU's number one fan, it reads, and nice photo of Bobby Jindal and Les Miles. It says Bobby Jindal is LSU's number one fan. Now, I'm sure some faculty members who picked up this program at the game probably looked at that and said, What? With all the cuts to higher education, is he the number one fan of LSU? Plus, he rarely goes to an LSU football game. John McKithen went to games and practices, recruited. It's not like he's in love with Louisiana State University.
I have no comment.
None.
Well, I was trying. I was trying to get you.
That's LSU. I'm not going to tell you LSU's what LSU does or whatever. One of the, you know, there's a criticism out there that the LSU board is pretty much controlled by the governor. They normally are, but
aren't they?
But when a university is being cut that much, the faculty and all of the problems they have, there is a, if you talk to any faculty member, their biggest complaint with the people who run the university, the board, the president, and we used to have a somebody else involved. We had a chancellor, but none of those people are very popular with the faculty out there, because there's been such dramatic cuts and they are not being restored, and the people in charge are getting the blame, period. But on the other hand, look, Louisiana has gone through a huge dip in revenues available, and Jindal's choices are what? Healthcare and higher ed. He reluctantly went along with the cuts, with giving away half the state income tax, and then the bottom fell out, including Jindal and the legislature spent almost $1 billion mm-hmm. dollars more, and they never have recovered. So blame whoever you want, but we still didn't have any revenues, and no governor is going to be popular when you're cutting $500 million a year out of the budget, period.
297-5633 to join Bernie Pinsonat in our discussion. Bobby Jindal at 42% in his poll, and we'll get to some of the other numbers, including those for Senator Landrieu. But Bobby Jindal last year chided his Republican brothers and sisters for not competing for every vote. When I look at the LSU Board of Supervisors, which he controls, 16 members, 15 white males, one black female. They're pictured on page 80 of the LSU game program. Nice photos of the board members. 15 white males and one black female. That doesn't sound like a politician who's competing for every vote.
Well, Jim Inkster always has the real simple questions for me, folks. It's called putting me in the box. But look, I'm not a fan of the board system in Louisiana, period. Most of these people are rubber stamps for any governor. It's not just Jindal. It's generally the case. Maybe this group could be identified as the ultimate rubber stamp group. But it's not, you know, that's one of the reasons I think that Jindal has critics who won't back off of him no matter what he does. I mean, you run across people, it's within the halls of the whatever, and it's called in Louisiana from now on, it's not who you know, it's what you know. And that turned out not to be the case, and the LSU board is a prime example. It goes across boards. I'm not that any governor has done that much better, but most of them, I would have to say, have been a little more, I get, picking people who are not all of the same ilk related to income, race, and
well,
views.
I thought Kevin Copes, the faculty senate leader, had a good line when he said, you know, since the chairman of Manda Meads is the past chair of the board, Bobby Yarborough, perhaps we should have some vegetarian representation on the board.
Well, the LSU board has been, you know, has had its fair share of criticism. A lot of it is justified, but I don't really know why we need these boards, to be honest with you. Why don't the governor just ought to send the orders over there instead of them taking the orders and announcing them? Most of these boards just pretty much follow what the governor wants, and that's mm-hmm. not unique to Jindal.
Well, the governor owes LSU a debt of gratitude because it was Louisiana State University that in the summer of or spring of 1971 hired his mother, who came from India, and she was with child, that child being the governor. And he was born in Baton Rouge as a result of his mother getting a job at LSU. Otherwise, he would have been born in India and would have been ineligible to be president of the United States. So if Bobby Chindle achieves his goal of residing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, it'll be because his mother got a job at Louisiana State University.
Well, Jim, all I can say is this. Those people are polling just like any other governor. The problem Jindal faced, I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but I've watched it a long time. When Foster had to start cutting the budget and thought he was going to have a deficit, mm-hmm. he tried to raise taxes on business. His popularity fell like a rock. Blanco had an embarrassment of riches and couldn't remain popular. All of these governors have... You know, it's not related to gender, but any governor that has massive deficits is going to be unpopular, period.
297-5633. Charles on North Foster. Charles, you're on with Bernie Pinsonet.
Good morning, gentlemen. We here in Baton Rouge and Port Allen just had the recent incident with Dee Dee Slaughter and Channel 2 riding her out of office. I want to know, with a governor who has campaigned unsuccessfully for two Republican candidates, how come the media isn't asking Bobby Jindal if he's going to repay the taxpayers of Louisiana, or what business did he transpire for the citizens of Louisiana while he was out helping John McCain and Mitt Romney ride off into the sunset?
Should he repay the taxpayers for these trips he takes that are political in nature?
Well, legally, I don't think he has to. Number one, he has a campaign fund that pays that. The only question related to him is his that I think the state incurs, you could actually say, is his security detail.
State troopers.
But, I mean, he's not getting on a plane and charging it to the state to travel wherever he's going. Mm-hmm. He can't do that. The only issue is the detail, security detail.
Well, and I don't think Bobby Jindal caused either Mitt Romney
or
John McCain to lose those elections. I think they did a pretty good job on their own, and I don't think Channel 2 ran Dee Dee Slaughter out of office. So, Charles, with a take, and we appreciate all takes, and all callers are welcome. 297-5633 is your number. Bobby Jindal at 42%, and he wants to be president, and he'll have to run on his success story in Louisiana. Does he have a story to tell, Bernie?
I've thought for the last 12 months the best accomplishment he had is the transference of charity into a modern-day system into our community hospitals. I didn't think any governor could get that done through the legislature. Nobody saw that happening. Jindal and them did figure out a way to do it. They got it done, and Louisiana doesn't have a charity hospital system and another hospital system. We actually had two systems on two different tracks, and they were wasteful. We couldn't afford the charity as it was presently set up. We couldn't afford the expenses, and I give Jindal credit for that. As far as I'm concerned, that's his most important accomplishment. You look at Jindal and you listen to his rhetoric, and he goes out and says he's done a lot. The problem with Jindal is if you look at the 42%, he's not getting credit with voters because he's unpopular. History will be a lot more informative as to what Jindal actually accomplished as time goes on. How much of this stuff will remain after he's gone? How long will teacher tenure survive? You know, those are pretty good accomplishments if you're looking at his voters, and he is a Republican. As far as his voters are concerned, he's done a lot, but the state as a whole, not so much.
Okay. 297-5633. We'll take a short break with Bernie Pinson at 877-217-5757. I noticed that Sophie on East Boyd says that the governor's greatest accomplishment will be the $2 million center for Mike Foster's papers. That's Sophie's opinion. Inkster Show at WRKF.org if you'd like to respond online. And we will take some inquiries for the esteemed pollster, Bernie Pinsonat, when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Pollster Bernie Pinsonat is with us with some fresh numbers about Louisiana politicians. 297-5633 is your number. As we went to the break, I was reading an email from Sophie on East Boyd about Governor Jindal's crowning accomplishment in his 8 years, according to her, may be the Mike Foster Center in Franklin, where the papers will be displayed, $2 million center that the governor is behind. And perhaps Kevin says when you enter the Foster Center, this may be what you'll hear.
From the carpenter to the accountant, our people are demanding change. No more king, scandal, or corruption. Just a governor who can make us proud again. Mike Foster, a conservative, a businessman. Mike Foster is not just another pretty face.
Doesn't that inspire you, Bernie?
I was a Mike Foster fan. I thought he was a pretty good governor. He was maybe the most popular governor in modern times, reaching numbers up into the high 70s. He was popular across the state. He was incredibly popular. But he maintained a popularity with blacks in Louisiana that was unheard of. You very seldom saw the acrimony you have now with Jindal versus the Black Caucus. The Black Caucus and Foster got along pretty well.
Well, Mike Foster had a lot to do with the revitalization of downtown Baton Rouge under his Commissioner of Administration, Mark Drennan, and he deserves credit for that. And when you look at LSU, in particular, the School of Journalism, the money that flowed through there during his tenure,
he created the community college system.
Yeah, he did do that. You're right. And he was a supporter of his alma mater, Louisiana State University.
Yeah, he was popular at LSU for his entire 8 years.
297-5633, Inkster Show at WRKF.org. For Bernie Pinsonat, Wade at Louis writes, Edwin Washington Edwards have a shot at governor if he could run?
Not really. I mean, he's popular, but there's a big difference in walking around being Edwin Edwards and saying cute things and having, and you know, look, I'm an admirer. I think he's an incredible politician. I've always been impressed how well he handles himself. Anybody does. Plus, he's very likable. But actually running for governor and being elected 2 years from now is another world, and probably not likely.
He'd be 88. Would it be 88 in the gate or 88 out the gate for Edwin Edwards?
Well,
but we would have a younger first lady.
Well, he'd have to get a pardon, which is difficult.
He claims he would not need a pardon, but Edwin Edwards, who's a pretty good lawyer, his interpretation is different than those at the Attorney General's office. I think he would need a presidential pardon.
Yes.
And Barack Obama has his hands full with other matters right now. I'd imagine an Edwards pardon is way down the list. HB in Denham Springs. HB, you're on the air with Bernie Pinsonat.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Bernie, could it be that our elected officials from the legislature and all the way to the governor's office and other elected officials are their own worst enemy, in that, like in tax credits to the various people that get them here in the state of Louisiana, as in the film industry? And it was also reported this morning on the news that due to computer problems, the oil and gas industry owes a great deal of money to the state of Louisiana in revenues that could have easily went to education and health care had these mistakes not been overrode, because some companies haven't even paid their fair share in the oil and gas companies for years.
Yes, I agree with that. That's an important source of revenue at this point in time in Louisiana. We're way behind on highway construction. We're cutting health care. We're cutting higher ed. Mm-hmm. The community hospitals are being shortchanged. The list goes on and on. We've laid off a lot of employees. We're behind on the retirement system. So any money that Louisiana is owed, any money Louisiana can collect, any money that we're giving away on tax credits, and there's a lot of them, you and I agree, most legislators agree, that Louisiana at this point in time is too deep in debt, has too many bills, as too many things we're not funding properly to allow any revenue not to be collected. In fact, some of these tax credits, I agree and the polls agree, we have too many tax credits for too many groups that probably shouldn't be getting them based on our needs.
297-5633 for Bernie Pinsonat. Let's get to the U.S. Senate race. Mary Landrieu, you have Bobby Jindal at 42% as far as his positives with state voters, his approval rating. Where is Senator Landrieu?
She's slightly negative. She's slightly upside down now.
Would mean what, 48?
Yeah, she's like 2% upside down. She's 2% more unpopular, I think. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it's basically...
Why is that? Why is that cause for concern?
Well, she lost 10 points. That's why, because she was last spring she was up by she had a positive job rating. Now she's slightly negative. It's not that she's just slightly negative. It's just that she's lost eight to 10 points.
Well, and even when her numbers were higher, you were on this show indicating you thought she had a tough reelection quest. Is it now impossible, Bernie Pinsonat, for Senator Landrieu to be reelected?
The big problem I keep talking about is that Louisiana is a red state. The last time she was, when she was first elected, of all the voters in Louisiana, 41% of the electorate was white Democrats. Today it's down to 21%. So if you do the numbers on the African Americans being 28 or 29 and you got about 70%, then any Democrat running statewide has to get about anywhere from 33 to 37% of all the white voters to get over that 50%. And all of the poll numbers, especially on this one, are saying, "Would you vote for her with 12 years experience or someone new?" 53%. Vote for Obamacare. 57% were more likely to vote against her. So, she's facing a trend now that only about 30% of the whites are the old Democrats. That used to be 36-37%.
Well, she's running against a Republican who some would say is to the left of her. Bill Cassidy was a Dukakis Democrat, proudly so, wrote letters to the editors' papers attacking President Reagan and praising Michael Stanley Dukakis, 1988.
Look, the Democrats can say that all they want. He is a right-winger when it comes to Washington, D.C. voting. If you look at the state legislature, how many Republicans I go back 5 years from now, and they're all
right.
They're all left-leaning Democrats.
But Cassidy proposed Obamacare when he was in the Louisiana legislature.
Well, we have a lot of Republicans, and most of the legislature is Republican now, who were Democrats, and it's not that big a deal anymore.
And
the choice is who you're going to send back to Washington, and that's what Mary has to overcome. I'm not saying she can't overcome it, but if you're looking at the numbers on her, look, only 40% of Louisiana knows anything about Cassidy. Yet, if you take away the numbers from the Tea Party that inflated Manus a little bit, that this poll and every other poll has them dead even. And only
has who dead even?
Landrieu and Cassidy are about dead even in the margin of error. So at this point in time, half the state really doesn't know him, yet the Republicans are voting for him just because he has an R behind his name.
They will be getting to know him both from a positive and not so positive vein. And Bill Cassidy, 11 years ago, supported Mary Landrieu for the U.S. Senate, and he had three brands of Republicans to choose from, and John Cooksey, Tony Perkins, and Susie Terrell, and he chose Mary Loretta Landrieu. So what got into Bill Cassidy?
He didn't like the other candidates. Well, he didn't want to have any.
Well, now he's gone but from. He supported Kathleen Blanco 10 years ago for governor. He's gone in 10 years from a left-leaning Democrat who was writing letters to the editor attacking Ronald Reagan and praising Michael Dukakis to a staunch Republican. Who is the real Bill Cassidy?
Well, that's what they said about Kennedy.
About
John Kennedy, who ran as a left-leaning Democrat and turned around 2 years later and ran as a... And by the way...
He was always a Democrat.
No, he...
You're talking about John Kennedy,
John
the treasurer.
Kennedy,
I got you.
No, listen to the
comparison. Was thinking of John Kennedy, the president of the United States.
I heard someone on one of the former statewide elected officials say Mary is always... appears very weak, but always ends up sometimes winning. In the race you're talking about, where we had the same scenario, where we had someone who was a Democrat switched to Republican, but ran as a, 2 years early, had run as a Democrat and ran way to the left of Chris John. Turns around and runs against Mary, and that was all the charges made against him, and it worked for a while. But with 14 days to go, the National Republican Party pulled out on him, the state Republican Party.
Who are you talking about?
Kennedy versus Landrieu in the last election. And yet, I predicted that the coattails wouldn't be enough to help him. We all, and the National Republican Party, she literally had a 14-point lead with less than about 2 weeks to go, and she ends up winning by 4 points. It was a scary night for her. So my point is, even I, and that was, you could see.
It was a little more than four.
No, it was 50.
It was 52. Two. He had 46.
But the point is, the way he closed all of that stuff, everybody came back home to Republicans. Jim, and it doesn't matter now a lot. And my contention now is, you're right. That's my point to some extent. She's not in control of her destiny because of the numbers are working so hard against her, the Obama stuff. But her destiny is controlled by the Republicans, and they're not always the best people at making their destiny become what it should be. So, she's based on the numbers, based on everything else, based on no statewide elected officials are Republicans anymore. She's not in control of her destiny, but it doesn't mean she'll lose.
Do you think she'll stay in?
If Obamacare continues to be very poor and she goes 10, 12 points behind, the Democrats are not going to waste money here. Not when they got Alaska, they got Arkansas, and if anybody's running a closer election than her, these people, parties don't care. They pull out and go where they need to spend the money.
297-5633 for Bernie Pinsonat. Jim on Perkins. Good morning, Jim.
Bernie, I appreciate all your insight into the political situation in the state, but neither one of the parties ever addressed the liability of retirement for the professors, for the state employees, and everybody. And how come this isn't used as a tool in the elections? Because our LSU professors are the lowest retired program in the South, and yet it's not an issue, but it should be, because it's a tremendous debt to the state.
Are you saying I'm not following. You're saying that the retirement system for the professors at LSU is unfunded? Or it's a great debt on LSU or the state?
Are you there, Jim?
Just asking why doesn't either party address this situation, because it's debt just like highway debt and everything else. And we have the lowest retirement program for our professors of any southern state university.
I see your point. Well, It probably is to the university. It probably is one of the reasons there's so much disdain for the LSU board, the whoever's running the place, and the governor, and lots of legislators, obviously. But this is something that is important to the university types. Look, you go outside of LSU and you go to North Louisiana and run a survey, it's the roads up there. It's the availability of healthcare facilities. you're talking about a small community. So when you're talking to a pollster, I'm looking at when I poll, if I ask about that question, it may resonate in South Baton Rouge, but even in a citywide poll, it wouldn't resonate.
297-5633, we invite your participation with Bernie Pinsonat, who believes Senator Landrieu has a tough time in her reelection quest next year. You said that 21% of the
total electorate is white Democrats.
White
now.
Democrats. 21% of the total electorate. How much of the
40 when
but
she
how
was
much of the total electorate is white Republicans?
26.
26?
Yeah, and growing.
Okay. But Mary Landrieu, and when she beat Woody Jenkins in 96, carried 25 parishes. He carried 39. 4 years ago, five years ago almost.
She came out of New Orleans area with a 100,000 vote lead. That is not there today, period.
Okay. Last time around against Kennedy, she carried 39 parishes and he carried 25. So she's gone up in every election. Not that she's winning by huge margins, but she has improved each time out. And that's with the electorate evolving as it is now. It was becoming more Republican during those years too. And yet she still won. She may be an anomaly. She may have something that others don't. What is it, Bernie Pinsonat?
She has the Landrieu name, which is very well known. It's not as popular in North Louisiana as it is in South Louisiana. Plus, there's an area that she tends to survive in, and it's Acadiana. It is not as conservative as the voters above 190. They tend to be more lenient on national issues. They tend to be more moderate.
Well, and she also has support of the oil and gas industry.
Well, I hear people say that, but I watch the oil and gas industry at the Capitol, and you listen to reporters, and you think that they walk in there and dominate. It is not the oil and gas big boys, I call them. It's all the people who make a living off of them, all of the suppliers, the whatever else. They walk into the Capitol, and they are the ones who defend and support. Can Mary get those people? Those are not her type mm-hmm. voters, but if she gets whether it's that or it's women or whatever, Acadiana is the key to her reelection, always has been, and she does decently in there, and that's why if she survives, it'll be because of that area.
Now Scott notes that recently, I think last week it was, Congressman Cassidy put out an email blast comparing Mary Landrieu with Mussolini, superimposing her image on that of Benito Mussolini, who was killed when he was put on meat hooks.
I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, what do you?
I don't think that. I read something about that, but I don't think it was. Was it Cassidy's campaign manager?
I think so.
Well, if you keep doing stuff like that, you won't be elected, and that's what. My point was,
or maybe you will.
Well, look, she's not in control of her destiny because of demographics. That doesn't mean she'll lose, because the other side has to run a very good campaign mm-hmm. to beat her, and that is yet to be done by them. So they have an advantage. That doesn't mean they'll win.
297-5633. The always provocative Bernie Pinsonat will stay with us for a while longer. We invite your participation, and back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Bernie Pinsonat, the guest, the esteemed pollster. Kobe writes, is there any thirst in Louisiana politics for legitimate independent candidates statewide?
Hey, that's a good question. I think you'll see that emerge in the future. I think there is a possibility that something's going to replace Democrats. I don't see any change or anything positive happening with Democrats in the next 2 to 4 years. And it would be it could become fashionable to just stand up and say I'm not either one and being. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. that there's something about the voting demographics of Louisiana. We have a lot of independents, but unfortunately, they don't vote. when everyone else votes, they vote sometimes less than half or even worse than that. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a boutique voting title that people don't want to be attached to either party. Unfortunately, they don't vote. But no, your point, the independent candidacy is something that somebody will eventually go out and make it popular, and it'll be the new challenge to the Republicans. I don't see the Democrats having, you know, the ability to do that. And the right candidate with money and a new approach certainly can sell that.
The 5th District congressional race ended, interestingly, a rout for Vance McAllister, the college dropout from Forest Hill, who made a fortune on Subway franchises and was supported by the Duck Dynasty crowd, which blew out the Jindal political machine. How did that happen?
Well, it's, you know, there are these elections that defy what political experts think or think they know about something. But the polls, the early polls were really a pretty good roadmap. The polls did show that this was Jindal's most, he was more popular in that area than any place in the state. Why? Teachers, hospital workers, state workers, a lot of people who live off of government, especially the state government. And then you had the university employees. And I don't, and you had a lot of candidates. That was good for McAllister. You had some heavyweights with money. You had with Morris and the PSC commissioner, what's his name?
Clyde Holloway.
So you had an array of candidates with four or five having a decent amount of money. You can't stand up and say, I've never been to Washington, I'm not part of the system, and have $58 in your back pocket to spend. The guy writes it. He may be an outsider, but he wrote a check for $800,000. So he's an outsider, but not really, not part of the process. And then you had the strange, quirky deal with Riser that was dubbed the fix was in, I think it was
the
called.
And Neil permeated the Neil deal.
Yeah, it permeated the entire district fairly quickly. And Riser came out and never really got on track after that.
Well, but the turnout was abysmal. If either candidate had gotten more supporters out, it would have been a bigger rout for McAllister, and Riser might have won. I mean, less than 20%. That's horrible.
But that's about.
But I checked in 2002. Rodney Alexander beat Lee Fletcher by very small margin, and more than twice as many votes were cast 11 years ago. So something happened to turn off the electorate, put them to sleep. They really didn't get energized. Now, when Fletcher ran against Rodney Alexander, that was a Democrat, Mr. Alexander at the time,
yeah,
who ran against a Republican. Maybe that was it.
Well, you, in the runoff, you didn't have a Democrat available. So it certainly didn't help the turnout of black voters. You know, it was the airwaves were full of negative ads. That's generally not... that suppresses to some extent. I'm sure there are a lot of causes, but actually when you go back and you look at it, it's only 20%. It is a miserable turnout. And I would be guessing, I wouldn't know, but if you went back and polled that area, here's what would happen. If I ask all those people, did you or did you not vote election day, 50% of them would said they voted.
There you go. Bill Bryan from the Attorney General's office. He writes, Jim, Louisiana has a statute that specifically prohibits anyone from registering independent. You can be none or other, but not independent. If anyone can gather 1,000 signatures, they can create a recognized party, but it cannot be named independent. That's from Mr. William P. Bryan III at the Attorney General's office. So independent is more of a term than an affiliation.
Right. You know, the candidates can go out and say, I'm running as an independent.
Well, George Wallace actually belonged to the American Independent Party, sure, and carried Louisiana back in 1968 and several other southern states when he was running for president of the United States.
No, nobody's going to say I'm running from an independent party. I'm running as an independent, which would make a good tagline on television. And basically, McAllister, that's what McAllister was saying he was. He was independent from the parties. He was not part of any system. He ran.
But then he goes and hires Rodney Alexander's people to run his office. So
yeah.
How independent is that?
Well, what they say and what they do are always two different worlds.
Okay. Well, we're 2 years away, actually less than two, from the Louisiana governor's election. And in your poll, your mock poll of candidates, you have David Bruce Vitter at 30%, number one. John Neely Kennedy, number two at 19%. John J. Darden, number three at 18%. And John Bell Edwards, number four at 8%. So right now, David is running ahead of the three Johns. Well, what do you make of that?
Well, he's the best known. He has conservative credentials. He's been able to take a stand on some issues. He got favorable publicity, not only here but across the country, about his demand that all federal employees, congressional and everyone else, be subject to the Affordable Care Act. And he's well known in Louisiana, and his base is to the right. And when I ask, who are you voting for? And I say four or five people. And based on political philosophy, people are going to gravitate towards those people based on what they right now. It's not they know that much about them. It's just their reputation. And at this point in time, his reputation and his awareness is better than most. And he garners a pretty good bit of the vote on the right, obviously, which he's always done.
He's never lost an election, unlike Mary Landrieu, unlike Bobby Jindal. David Vitter is unscathed in electoral fights, and he's had some tough ones. And do you think he's running?
I don't know. I think a lot of this depends on the big race next year with Landrieu and the Democrats and the Republicans as to who controls the Senate. If the Republicans were to gain back control of the Senate, I can't imagine why he would want to come back and be governor versus the enormous amount of power and clout he would have as a, you know, he's been there long enough now. These people don't stay 30 and 40 years anymore. 18 years is a long time. So he would be well up the chain of power brokers, seniority, and he would have access to, he would have access to a lot of control as far as Republican politics are concerned related to what's going to happen in the next 16 and 18. Well, yeah, it'd be 16 and 18.
Is the scandal that he was enveloped in 6 years ago, is that the elephant in the room?
Well, it would be a much bigger skeleton if it wouldn't have, he ran and got reelected. When he comes back and runs for governor, certainly it'll be used again. It would be, I think, more effective if it hadn't been used on him and it didn't work. So I don't think that'll deter him. I think what'll deter David Vitter is does he want to come back and be governor of a state versus the enormous power that could be available to him as a Republican in the majority. But there is a huge difference in Louisiana that these people are going to start finding out. The old days of Louisiana being governor and having enormous power, because so many people have to go to Baton Rouge to get funded, because everybody has to go through the up to Baton Rouge the way our strong system is, when Louisiana doesn't have the money, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have the money it used to, plus there's so much media attention, not having money is a big problem for a governor of Louisiana. Everybody gets mad at you. Everybody wants something. Jindal's not funding universities, colleges, the highways. All of those areas now he's getting direct blame. And guess what? In the old days when you had that money and you controlled everything, yeah, you were popular. But it's a different world today in Louisiana. And since you control the purse strings, you also get most of the blame.
Judy Lithgow writes, state employees, teachers, etc., don't live off the state, as stated by your guest. They work for the state. They work and deserve the pay they receive. That's from Judy.
Well, Judy, I didn't mean it. It's political speak. They live off of a state check, so they are not happy with Jindal because he's affecting the state check and their ability to make a living.
But Bobby Jindal lives off a state check, and before that he lived off a federal check, and he's never really had a job of significance in the private sector. He's a guy who, despite his aversion to taxpayer funding, has lived pretty well off the taxpayers of the United States and of the state of Louisiana, hasn't he?
Yes. I'm not going to go past that comment, Inkster. Look, let me say it one more time. There is no difference, or there is a big difference, depending on the politician. Most of them are this way. What they say and what they do is not always what you would expect. And most of these people govern the way they think they can be popular.
But is there anything wrong with being a public servant? It's one thing to be a public servant, as the governor is, as Senator Vitter is, and be a supporter of government. But in their case, they generally talk about how it's evil for the taxpayers to have to pay this, pay that. But yet they've never, to my knowledge, refused to accept taxpayer benevolence.
Look, one of the things that Jindal can't escape from is during the retirement, when he was trying to rein in the retirement deficit, so-called, having people who had qualified, pushing them to 65. Those are the type of things that state employees will never forgive Jindal for. The number of state employees we have now who are making big bucks, six mm-hmm. figures, and those people, you've seen Jindal appoint them, and the public, the news media does a good job of saying, look, such and such guy, he's making $160,000. Our revenue secretary is doing how much? $300,000 with two jobs or whatever it is. The average, when we talk about state workers in Louisiana, unfortunately, it's become those people at the top, none of those got laid off, and so I'm taking mm-hmm. up for these people.
Okay.
It is one of the problems that Jindal has. The rich get richer at the top in state government, and the people below them suffered all the cuts and didn't get any raises.
Ashley writes, is there any truth to rumors circulating that former state representative Tony Perkins may enter either the U.S. Senate race or the governor's race?
Well,
I heard Congress as well.
Yeah, I think, well, the rumors are that he's looking at, I guess he still lives here, running for Congress, which it'll be a fairly crowded field. I think you got I'm sure he's a good candidate, but you've also got Dan mm-hmm. Clater now, who's very interested.
He's looking at it.
Yeah,
Paul Dietzel.
Paul Dietzel is looking at it. You've got Chabert. You've got Landry, former congressman, Norby Chabert out of the mm-hmm. home of
all of these Republicans.
People, all of these are Republicans, and you
any Democrats?
No
Democrats.
Look.
Well, you know, when Tony Perkins ran for the U.S. Senate in 2002, he got 10%. And I noted at the time that among the candidates running, it was Cooksey and Terrell and Landrieu and Perkins. That might have been it. Was there anybody else? I think that was it. But he was the only tattooed candidate. And Tony Perkins, former Marine, has a story to tell and is still... He certainly has a base that he can run with.
Sure, he
no
does.
Doubt, no doubt about it.
He has. When he ran for the United States Senate, he was relegated to the far right. And when he got into Baton Rouge, his home base, I think he did well in what's called North Baton Rouge, and he didn't do well in South Baton Rouge. So I haven't looked at all the dynamics on, but he does well to the right. And to the middle, he doesn't do so well, and he certainly doesn't do well. So areas like big areas of Baton Rouge, he won't do that well.
But in an open primary,
doesn't matter.
He might make a runoff against some Democrat who gets in the race late, and if he does that, then we might have Congressman Anthony Perkins, to be confused with the guy who was in Psycho.
Well, the big question mark for this race, which helps out the extremes right and left, is will a Democrat run or will an African-American run? That enhances anyone to the right's ability to make the runoff.
Another question from a listener, Kip Holden. Can he be elected lieutenant governor?
Oh, I won't summarily dismiss him out of hand. I think he's a good candidate, but you know he's been fairly positive in Baton Rouge. He's had a fairly decent. I mean, he has broad appeal here. He tends to be pretty conservative, which I think that's why he's been reelected. And if he uses that approach in a statewide election, who am I to say that he has no chance? But he may surprise people.
Well, it's always good to talk with you, Bernie. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. For Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.